like to welcome everybody to College Age Stories. I'm Josh Quadi, the College Age Minister at College Heights. It's great to have you joining us for our podcast today. This podcast is dedicated to getting the stories of college students from Joplin, Missouri out, because we believe that everybody's story deserves to be heard. Today, I'm really excited. We have our guest with us today, which is Chanel. How you doing, Chanel?
I'm doing good.
Good. Thanks for joining us. This is actually the second time we had to record this. The computer stopped recording halfway through last time, and we didn't know it because we were so deep into her story. So we had to schedule another time for her to come back in and kind of reshare her story, which I'm excited to hear again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So tell us about your family. I think we got to start there.
All right. So the biggest thing about my family is that there are 9 of us kids.
Good
so we
night.
Got mom and dad and 9 little kids. So that's the best part about my life is being, I'm the second oldest. So being a big sister of all of them is a blast. So that's me growing up. Dad was not much of a Christian, but mom was definitely like this faithful, faithful woman. So that's kind of just like how home was a faithful mom, a good dad. He's a good dad. But yeah, we grew up, mom homeschooled all of us. I think she didn't like the school system, so we were a bunch of homeschooled kids. So that's one mom homeschooling 9 of us kids. My dad worked at a factory plant out in like Baxter Springs. So
there was 9 getting homeschooled.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a lot of denim skirts. Is that kind of the world?
Yeah, no, we wore jeans, don't you worry. You know, they might have been like to our ankles, but...
So growing up with 9,
yeah.
You know, what was home like?
Home. I mean, we were home every day. So being homeschooled, that's just like a packed house, 24/7. Every year there was a new baby being born. So me and the one after me. So I'm 22. Then there's a 21-year-old. Then there's a 20-year-old. One of my sisters turned 19 this
month. Wait, what's the age gap between the oldest and the youngest?
I'm pretty sure Corinna's like 23, and then Sayla's 13.
So 10 years?
10 years, about,
10,
yeah.
11 years?
Yeah.
9 kids?
9 kids.
Woo!
So, yeah, baby after baby after baby. So, I mean, house was popping. So, there's all of us kids, you know, whatever age we were for elementary school or even younger. I don't remember what it was like when we were younger, but very busy. A lot of cleaning. We did a lot. Mom would be like, go clean something. So, we would just be cleaning something every
just
time.
Just something.
Something. I don't know what it was, but we're all like, why we gotta keep cleaning, Mom? And she's like, just keep cleaning. I'm like, okay. So, there was a lot of that. A lot of beans and rice. Like, money was definitely a thing for our family. I don't remember much of it. I don't remember being, like, too affected. I just remember, like, my parents, like, fighting a lot about it. But then also, like, Dave Ramsey. So Dave Ramsey was, like, the person we always listened to. And he said, eat beans and rice. So we ate beans and rice to get out of that debt. So I remember, yeah, money was, like, that aspect of it. But there was just a lot of fights because of it. I don't really remember too much of it. I loved my life. We went on bike rides a lot. We lived at the middle of town. So I grew up in Joplin also. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just running around town, having fun with all my friends, mm-hmm. siblings, not friends. But yeah, so church was the second thing probably up to family. Like was church, we stayed home, and then there was church life. So I loved going to church on Sundays and then Wednesday nights. Those were all my friends went to church. And so like that was like the peak. It was just like, yeah, we got to church. And my mom would ground me from church when all my friends were like, why would your mom ground you from church? Like, shouldn't you go to church if like you're being a bad kid? I'm like, no, it's because I was a bad kid at church. So I'm getting grounded from church because I was messing around, because I would just like run away from my mom because I didn't want to go home. So I would just go hide somewhere else in this big old place. So
I'm sure there's some type of theology behind getting ground from church, but I don't think I understand it.
Yeah, I don't know. Ask my mom. But, yeah, so that's that. So growing up, it was pretty regular. I felt like I had like a pretty good life. I played violin in like 5th grade, so that's my secret power.
I didn't know you played violin.
Yeah, I played it for like 6 years. So
really?
Yeah.
You still play?
No. I mean, I can, but...
I didn't know that about you.
Really?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I did. I played violin, and so, like, that was fun about me, but...
Do you still have one?
I do.
You gotta play it for us sometime.
Shucks, I guess I should.
That's wild. I had
catch
to
me
that.
At, like, Ascend.
That would be so
my
cool.
My dad always wanted to be a fiddler, and okay. He's like, come on, Chanel, you can fiddle for us. So I'd always, like, fiddle for... Or, like, not even fiddle, but I'd play my fast songs, like, yeah. Whenever family was over, so...
How did I not know that?
I don't know. I guess it's something I keep on the down low. I hated it. Okay, so part of being homeschooled was also, like, weird, especially when I got into sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, which just started to become weird. I didn't like it. So putting violin on top of that, I cried going into my first, like, violin lesson because I was like, you are making me be even more of a weirdo. Because I thought that that was just, like, another, like, a nerdy thing to do is you play the violin and you wear your denim skirts and I'm homeschooled and I am in this huge red van. Like, we looked at this, I don't even know. I was like, and then we didn't have technology. My parents didn't have even phones until the tornado. Yeah. Which was my freshman year of high school. And even then they really didn't want them at all. My mom, my dad did, my mom did not. So it was just like, yeah, I just like didn't like anything that I was forced into, and violin was one of those things. So I think there was part of it is just, I just don't want to talk about, like, I didn't like that, so I just don't talk about that.
Okay. But, so I'm seeing a pattern here. So your elementary years, you know, you're living your life.
Yeah.
You know, your family's your family, you're having a good time, you're loving your siblings.
Yeah.
Friends at church, all this kind of stuff. And then junior high, which I think is kind of probably most of our stories, is you start becoming self-aware.
Yeah.
And you start realizing there's parts of you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So moving from junior high to high school, did that get better or did that get worse?
It definitely got worse. Hmm. I feel like there was some parts where it got better and then it got worse again. So like in middle school, I always just wanted to be like a normal kid. We actually lived right across the street from a middle school. So seeing just kids my age out there all the time, I just like wanted to be just like them. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to have friends. I had my best friend who's my cousin. She went to that school and I just looked up to her so much. And I thought that like she was so cool and she was popular at school. And so I just like, and at that same time, like High School Musical came out. So I was just like, school's like this fun place where you, everybody's just like, it's just a party all the time.
And so you really thought that was like real
I really
life.
Thought that was school. Like, oh, you can ask fantastic. My friends now, like, I'm like, okay, so what was school actually like? Cause I have a really bad idea of what school was like in my head. Cause it's just from the movies, High School Musical. So I was like a daydream girl. I was like the Rapunzel up in a room looking down at all the cool middle schoolers. And then my mom's downstairs being like, Chanel, clean up more things. And I'm like, I don't want to anymore. So then when it got into high school, that kind of just picked up, but I felt like I was getting some more like identity closure in some areas, and that sadly came with boys. So that was probably like the big, I don't know. So I was trying to figure some stuff out and I started noticing, I was like, I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be like this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, mom, I want to go to school, but she refused. So I couldn't go to school in high school. And I really, really wanted to. And freshman, sophomore year, it just, like, peaked. I was like, I hate this so much. And then I also, like, during that time, I was just like, I just wanted to be what everybody else wanted me to be, I guess. I had an idea of what I thought I wanted, and so that's what I wanted. So I wanted to be just like my cousin. But then, like, that's when it kind of got good, is I realized that maybe that life of, like, partying and stuff wasn't that fun because my cousin just, the one I looked up to, kind of like, it just obviously wasn't fun, like, anymore for me. And so I was like, okay, that's not who I want to be. But then I also, being the second oldest of nine, and that's tons of little babies, is just, I don't get attention at all. And so also I was constantly comparing myself to my friends because I thought they were all cool because they did go to school. They did have all this stuff. They did, I don't want to say like Facebook or anything, but I remember it was just like, Chanel, we can't tag you in anything because you don't have Facebook. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, how can I help you? And so there was constantly just, like, me, like, I felt, like, less than. And so in high school, like, guys actually started liking me, which I always thought that they would like all of my friends because my friends were so pretty. Or, like, they were just more than me because they had the credentials that I thought I wanted. Like, I thought I wanted this. So I'm like, how do you notice me? Because I'm not even who I want to be, so how? Mm-hmm. Like, but do you even see me? And so then people, like, I noticed that they actually started liking me. And as much as, like, I wish that didn't matter, it did. Because whenever they gave me attention, I was like, I guess I'm not as, like, weird as I thought I was. I guess I'm not as, like, awkward as I thought I was. Maybe I am, like, a normal kid. Like, I don't know, am I? Mm-hmm. And so kind of it helped, like, pull me out of, like, you're not a freak. I don't know. You're not, you know, weirdo. You're not less than any of these other people. You are just normal, and people do notice you. They do hear you. They do, like, want you to be around. Like, a big thing for me is, like, people just don't even like me, like, as a person in general. So it's like, no, we like you, and then we also just, like, love you. Like, we love you and like you a lot, so just, like, stop thinking that you're nothing. But a lot of my life was kind of just, like, sleepwalking, trying to figure out, like, I want to be like everybody else was a solid part. And then junior year of high school, I actually started dating a guy, which is the first time I ever dated somebody. I dated somebody in like eighth grade, but that doesn't count. But that was probably like the biggest kind of spot, like growing up, was, okay, now I'm really getting validation from a person. Now I really am like, somebody really does notice me. I feel like a lot of my identity was just like put on him. Mm-hmm. It was like, I know who I am when I'm around you. And you don't see me as like a weird homeschool girl. You don't see me as like who I saw myself as. It's like, oh, you think I'm actually like fun, and you think I'm pretty, and you think I'm like these things. And I loved being his girlfriend. Like, it was so much fun. And I was like treated really good. So I don't know, like it felt good. But then it's like we broke up just because life was just different. Like we about dated for a year. And then you could, like, we just were on different paths. It's like, you want to do this and I want to do this. So, like, we just broke up. It wasn't, like, gory and just, like, horrible. It was just, like, pretty regular. But then after that, I went through, like, this massive just, like, okay, now who am I again? Because before him, it was, like, I just thought I was nothing, like, compared to others. But then with him, it was, like, oh, my gosh. I, like, believed him whenever they – because a lot of people will tell me things, but I'm, like, ah, you don't mean that. Like, you don't actually mean that I'm, like – a part of your group. But with him, I was like, no, I believed it. And it was like, there was a worth and a weight put to my name whenever I was with him. When for other people, I just didn't believe like what they said.
And so, okay. So let me backtrack a little bit. So junior high, you start seeing, almost comparing yourself, your life, your world to other people. And then you get to high school, you start becoming discontent. So like you see the comparison in junior high, then you get to high school and you're like, man, I don't even know if I like these things about myself. Mm-hmm. And so you get in a relationship with a guy and you're like, oh, all of a sudden I like who I am with him.
Yeah.
And then you break up with him and you're like, now who am I?
Yeah.
So middle school life or elementary school life was defined by your family, you know, who you were and stuff like that. What was going on with your family when you were in high school then? Because you threw yourself completely at this guy. Did you, you know, what was going on at
like
home?
Like, forget home. Actually, home was chaos.
Huh.
Absolute chaos once high school started. The tornado happened, and once that hit, that's when, like, the money fights became...
Well, because your family was affected by the tornado directly,
right? Yeah. Okay, so we were really close to where the tornado hit, so we couldn't live in our home for about 4 months. And so, like, through that, we're living at other people's houses. Mm-hmm. I loved it because, like, me and my siblings loved it because we were with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
That was whenever just money stuff. I remember money was a huge thing. My dad just completely, like, went crazy, it felt like. Like, that's whenever I remember hearing, like, fights constantly. And that's whenever I, like, wish they got a divorce. And from then on, I was like, I don't want you in my, not that I don't want you in my life, but I just don't want you in my, like, with this family anymore. Like, you don't bring anything good. Like, it's not that you didn't bring anything good, but it's just, like, it was hard being around him all the time because I heard him fighting with my mom. So, like, if you're going to fight with my mom, you can't come around and just start talking to me like we're good because we're not good because I just heard what you said to my mom. And so don't think that we're good. And then that kind of just, like, kept happening. And then he'd go on business trips, and then that just, like, turned into, like, the worst, and he started drinking again, and so, and that all was during high school, and so it was just a constant 4 years of just, like, hard. I didn't like my dad some days, and then I did, and then I didn't like him for, like, months, but then I'd forgive him. It's like, I went to move, and it's, I had a big forgiveness night, you know, like they always do, and it's just like, I forgive you, Dad, and I went home, and I forgave him, and so it's just constant, like, I forgive you, but then I was like, but then you make it so much harder again, and so that was kind of, like, family life during high school was just, like, chaos. My big sister, I don't know what she was doing. I don't remember much of her. I know she was just doing her own thing, but, like, being a big sister of all the other ones, we always had rant rooms. I know we were talking about this. So, like, there's mom and dad fighting and being crazy, whatever, but then there's, like, we'd have, like, the four big kids up in the room, and we just, like, okay, so how are we going to solve this? How are we going to figure this out? Like, okay, mom's acting like this, dad. So it was just, like, we started, like, kids started ganging up on parents.
And that's a tough school. Well, but that's a tough position for the kids to be in. You see this, you know, kind of happening in front of you, all this division and struggle and everything, and you're trying to figure out how do you survive in it. And so you find this relationship where you find a place where you can, you know, be heard, be understood, be validated.
Yeah.
So then the relationship breaks up, and then I think I cut you off a little bit ago, because then you go, so then things really fell apart.
So, yeah, because so it was more than just that falling apart. It was like, okay, now family's really falling apart too. Okay. And now friendships are really apart too, because when I was with him, I just didn't really care about it. I mean, I didn't feel like my friendships were much, and then with him, and then afterward it was like still weird with the other friendships. Like, I don't know who I was really friends with. Like, who did I really trust? Who did I really love being around? Okay. And I knew I did, but it was just kind of a lot more like, no, I really knew what I wanted when I was with him, but now, like, I don't actually know at all. And so after that, it was kind of just like anger, tons of like confusion, and then tons of trying to find myself back in the shoes I was when I was with him. It's like, I knew that was a comfortable place for me, so I just kept wanting to run back to that comfortable.
Because, so you're talking about boys then?
Yeah, any type of, and not even with boys, because I didn't even talk with guys, but it was just like party scene. Like, that's like the part I knew, because like with him, it was just like, was the beginning of like rebelling, I guess, kind of just like lying a lot, and not lying to him, but just like lying to my family, lying to my mom, being like, this is what I'm doing. And so that just kept taking root. And then I got new friends, new good friends. I was still friends with those other friends, but I just got new people that kind of were with me on that too, that they just like living like that. And we were just like, we loved it. I don't know. It was fun. We didn't think like much of it, but we were definitely sad girls. We were definitely sad girls. And for me, I was definitely just trying to like find more validation in trying to go back to what was comfortable, but just trying to also like be, I knew that I didn't want to be that weird homeschool girl. So I was going to like be more than that and rebel and go above and beyond, so that no one could ever think that like you were homeschooled. And so that was another part of it. Like, I'll smoke, I'll drink, I'll party, I'll go, like, I'll do all this stuff, because I will never identify with like not being sociable. You're just a weirdo. Like, it's just like you're uncomfortable, because like I just don't feel comfortable. So I just wanted to be a fun person so that everybody knew that like I could be cool with them, I guess.
So it wasn't even so much you want to be a fun person. You wanted to not be
someone
that they might not even saw you as.
Yeah.
So what, yeah, they didn't so, even so see it's like, that. It's like, I'm trying to push back on something so you don't think something of me, and I want to be this too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you're in this phase, post-breakup phase, where you're just living the life. Did that go into college too? I mean, was that the end of your high school?
Mm-hmm.
What were your first years of college like?
Yeah, so I actually ended up going to Ozark Christian College, but that's just a cover-up. Like, that didn't mean anything for me. I knew I wanted to go there just because I thought that it would keep me out of a lot of trouble, but honestly, it just made me want to get into more trouble, because there it was just like goody-two-shoes everywhere, and I was like, this is sickening. Like, I just didn't want any of it. It reminded me of everything I thought I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be like anybody there. And so honestly, it just like launched me in like even more rebellious stage, because I was like, now I won't be like any of you guys. I love Jesus, but I am not like you. And so I guess kind of like the whole Jesus thing during that, it was just, I put him on the back burner. I was like, I'll ask you for forgiveness later. I'm not even going to bother with it right now, because I just want to do my own thing. I'm so sick of like being around these people that just make me just feel so uncomfortable. And so every weekend I'd still be going out and just having fun. And I loved it. And I loved my friends. Like, it was, I really loved it. And that lasted probably like all freshman year, but during freshman year I actually got kicked out of my house during winter break, and so that was like the peak. So like freshman year, parents divorce, life's crazy, I don't know, I was like running from things, I was so I didn't know how to make friends. I became friends with like, I don't know, people I'd party with, I guess. And I remember it was just like a big, big pit, because I just put God on the back burner. So I was like not even allowing him in my life at all, because I was just like, I'll deal with you. Like, we'll talk later. Like, we're not going to talk right now. And then there was spring break, because I was like pretty involved with the college age a lot. And so I went on a spring break trip, and I came back, and Damon calls me, and he's like, hey, mom and dad are like separated. Like, they're divorcing now. And I was like, what the heck? And I thought he was like a joke. But with us kids, like, those rant rooms were like a big deal. We were like FBI agents, no lie. We would get our dad's phone, we would screenshot messages, we would like, we wanted them to divorce so bad. So it was like all strategized by the kids. Like, we set it up. And so we would take the information to our mom to say, mom, here's what he's doing, divorce him. and she would never do it. And then I was like getting more afraid because I'm like, this is going to be on the kids now. Like the kids are getting hurt. You're getting hurt. Like this needs, like you got to stop it. And so while we were gone, Damon just kind of went crazy, like, and got super mad at my dad and then just told my mom, like, you need to divorce him or something like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know it. So my mom's like, all right, we're fish. Like, well, then I'm going to do it. So that happened. And that was kind of the week I woke up. So that was like, I come back and there's that. And the very next day, one of my friends from college who I'd been like really good friends with, like he was one of the good friends I was friends with who never went out and partied with me, mm-hmm. but he passed away the next day. So other than there's this death, and I've never dealt with death. Mm-hmm. And so that was really weird, especially for a young guy. I was like, that's mm-hmm. what? And then also during that week, I ended up liking a guy and I hadn't liked anybody like really mm-hmm. for since high school. And so there was parents' divorce, death, so like that type of emotion, but then also like the feelings of like I like you, and mm-hmm. so all of that was just like too much for me. And so Anna just like, my head was like, okay, something's wrong, mm-hmm. like something's very wrong, because you already had like bitterness toward your family. Like I got bitter toward my mom for just never divorcing my dad, and so whenever mm-hmm. she kicked me out of the house, I said, fine, I'm glad, because I don't want to mm-hmm. be here anymore anyway. And so I just had already gotten super hard-hearted toward like any type of emotion toward my family, and whenever they divorced, I was like, I should care. Like, I should really care about this. But, like, I just didn't, because I had already, like, hurt so much from other things. And so, yeah, so there was a lot of, like, emotional just, like, chaos happening. And so that summer, I left for Maryland. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the best thing I ever did for myself. I knew that I wanted to go to a camp just to get out of Joplin. And I knew I didn't want it to be 2 hours away, because there's just a lot in Arkansas, but I was like, no, we're getting way out of here. So mm-hmm. I went to Maryland with nobody I knew. There were a couple girls from Ozark that came, but I didn't know them, so it really didn't matter for me. And then there is really whenever I said, hey, God, we can talk about this now. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what happened, but there was a lot of just like soft ways that he was speaking to me there. And it was like, hey, you do love your dad a lot. And hey, you do love your family a lot. And so mm-hmm. then also I went through a lot of regret, being like, I like have ignored my family for, it feels like, a year now. And I can look my sister in the eye and not really give a crap about what she does. So she was crying whenever I got kicked out. And I was like, shut up. Like, stop it. Like, this is dumb why you're crying. Like, you don't actually care. Like, you don't know what I'm actually going through. Like, yeah. So it was just like this big ordeal. And I just like was so numb to all of their feelings and I didn't care. And so there I was like, oh my gosh. And so there was almost like, now my parents are divorced and now I'm literally in Maryland. How am I supposed to protect them and help them? Mm-hmm. And so then I got like that kind of character. I was like, oh, I just want to protect and save and everything like that. But there I was like, no, that's not your role. You're not their superhero and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you're their big sister and you're going to be their big sister and be what a big sister can do. And then be the daughter that my mom needs me to be. And then be the daughter my dad needs me to be. And in Maryland, I had actually texted my dad and I said, hey, I forgive you. Cause I'd practiced forgiving him again and again and again, but like every 6 months he'd do something else that was just mm-hmm. chaotic. And so like that really got me hurt a lot. And then that last time I said, I forgive you, he was like, I'm not even asking for your forgiveness. I did nothing wrong. And I was like, oh Lord, like this is not happening to me right now. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, Maryland, but through that, I had the best people around me. People who, it was just close environment. Like everybody's mm-hmm. just close. Like here in Joplin, everybody's just spread out, but there mm-hmm. was just like, okay, you're each other by each other every single day. There's conversations every day. And so there was just like, people kept pouring into me in ways that like my heart understood. Like, I don't yeah. know, but it was just easy. I had friends there that I just ended up talking to. I was like, wow, I had a lot of bitterness that I didn't even realize I had. And so this, all this healing just kept happening like there. And I come back and a lot of those friends that I would party with didn't even come back to school, like at Ozark, or I just wasn't really friends with any of them anymore. And so mm-hmm. that was weird. So I never, yeah, so going out just really wasn't too much of a thing, although I was still kind of like, oh, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Because I come back from Maryland where I was getting loved just like mm-hmm. so much, and then being here, I was like, nobody even knows me again, because mm-hmm. nobody knows who I've been for the past year. Nobody mm-hmm. knows who I was in high school even. No one knows me after Maryland. So it's like, I really am like starting on a clean slate, but I didn't see that. I saw it as like, I was so mad. I was mad at the church for ignoring me. I was mad at people who knew me for never asking about me. I was mad that people who I felt like were supposed to have my back didn't have it. And I was like, now I'm just pissed. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just so angry at everybody because... And then I got a job at Starbucks, and that's whenever kind of like there was an older guy there who just like helped me. Kind of just like, he just heard me out, I guess. I'd ask him some hard questions and he would just like hear me out. And then also like in January of that next year coming back from Maryland, it was just like, I got put into such good groups where it was just like, no, we hear you now. And this is who you are. And I love you because of you, not because of whatever. And I didn't have to tell him my story. Like I could leave all of that out and it was good. And then I could bring it up when I needed to and we'd talk about it. Mm-hmm. But, and so then it was just like this freeing moment of just like, look at you, like you're fine. Like, mm-hmm. and you don't need to like come up with like an identity that you want to be portrayed at. No one's asking you to be somebody. Mm-hmm. Like you just need to be you. And so like kind of like taking back, like, you're not. And then after I came back from Maryland, I didn't think about, I guess, the party lifestyle in the way that I had before. I didn't think about it as like going back to something comfortable. Then I kind of was partying just because it was like fun and it mm-hmm. wasn't as much, but it was still there. Like it was mm-hmm. definitely still there because it was something I was comfortable with. I liked it. I liked the attention, I suppose, mm-hmm. but it was just like, I like who I am in this scene. And so that was kind of like there, but then it slowly just kind of kept coming out as other people just kept pouring in. So it's kind of like as more people came into my life, the rest of it, I kind of just like ignored. I was like, I guess I don't really care about that stuff anymore. So there was never like a I'm done doing this type of moment. It was just like, I guess I just stopped. Hmm. I don't know. And that came with like people just loving on me a lot. And so sophomore year, junior year, and I guess right now is just kind of living in that waking up after Maryland, like learning how. First, it started with just learning how to forgive myself because putting God on the back burner actually kicked me in the butt and I didn't realize how bad that would hurt. Mm-hmm. Being like, yeah, sorry, I'll talk to you later. And I felt horrible for like mm-hmm. thinking like that. And then kind of just like, for me, I don't know if my siblings ever felt like I had hurt them, but like for me, I felt like I had hurt them. And so just kind of like reconnecting with them. And then also like reconnecting with my mom, just being like, mom, you did hurt me in high school whenever you didn't allow me to do this and this. And you just looked down on me, I felt like. So having that conversation with her, just kind of like redeeming that relationship and then that. And then old friends, like we're all on good terms now. So it's not like, yeah, I just feel like I'm at a good spot with everybody. And then with my dad, we're still not good. He's hurt me more than I want to keep forgiving. But like right now it's just like, I don't even know where to start with you. Mm. Like, and like it's constantly like maybe every month is just something else. And I'm just like, I can't bear to hear about you. Like you hurt me. Like it just like hurts what you do to my family and what you do to my mom and what you do to my like baby sister. Like I'm so sick of it. And so him and I are definitely not on good terms, but I don't know. It's fun. Like being able to be friends with people that I just love, not because I'm trying to find myself in them, not because I'm, you know, sick of myself and just want to like, yeah, I just trying to like make myself be who they are. But it's like, no, like this is me. And the only reason why I know this is me is because like people I trust have told me it. And I guess eventually it just sank in. Eventually I just believed.
Well, let me run with that for a second.
Okay.
So you say this is me, mm-hmm. like this comfortability you have with yourself. And, yeah. and this is one of the things that I love about you, Chanel, is that you do exude self-confidence, mm-hmm. which is crazy because I don't think that's been... I mean, from what you said, that wasn't at least what you felt.
No.
And, you know, and I've been able to watch you grow up for over, you know, a long time and mm-hmm. be able to see you in different stages of your life. And that's not something you demonstrated either. You know, it was easy to see, you know, just you're trying to connect. You want to be somebody. Mm-hmm. How did you get to this point where you have the self-confidence now, where you can be at peace with who you are in its totality? You know, from not just the way that you look, but the way that people perceive you or mm-hmm. the things like you talked about how you were afraid that people would box you in as this homeschool mm-hmm. person or this party person from the past, you know, not just how you look, but a bigger sense of who you are.
Oh, yeah.
How do you have that?
Shucks, Jesus Christ. Like, literally, I don't know, but... It's just literally love is the only thing I can think about because all during up, like growing up, it's like I had absolutely nobody. I felt like nobody even noticed me, not my mom, not my dad, not any of my friends, not anybody. And I think when I got, I guess I could say just like back from Maryland and kind of just like got used to seeing other people and then let other people see me. It's like in Maryland, I got used to sharing what I was actually thinking. I don't think I ever talked before. So no one ever actually knew who I was, because I just never shared. So like, how is anybody supposed to know me if I'm not sharing that? And how is anybody supposed to validate me if I don't like give them an avenue of like where I've been hurt so like they can help me work through that? And so I honestly think in Maryland, I learned to speak up, learned to share about who I am, learned to just like talk about me, things that I like, things that, and I just like myself just kind of kept popping up, and I had like phenomenal friends there, and they just like, I don't know. So before, whenever it was like party scene, I was like, that's what I was comfortable with. But then I didn't realize that I was also comfortable with being just like this fun, gentle girl that just loved being around people. I didn't know that that's what I liked about me. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was just like having avenues to just like be a different person of myself that I didn't realize I liked. Mm-hmm. And I didn't force those places. They just happened. And then I guess I took hold of them, and God had put the perfect people there to like help like stretch me. I don't know, to like get in there. And then coming back, and people just keep pouring into me, telling me like, no, Chanel, this is you. This is how you deserve to be treated, with like crappy things. And then honestly, I started pressing into Jesus like beyond anything I ever had. And I was super sad that I had like put him on the back burner and said, I'll talk to you later. And then honestly, just like asking for forgiveness, but then constantly just sharing. I don't know. I think I was given a voice. People let me speak, which before I didn't realize I needed, but people let me speak. And then all of a sudden I was like, I matter. I matter, and who I am is cool. I have something to give, and this is my best friend, and this is my best friend, and they know everything about me, and that's why they're my best friend. Not because like we're in the similar situations, but it's like, no, they know me now. Like, they know who I was when I was homeschooled, who I was in middle school, who I dated in high school, and they know who I've been in college. And that's not like, like they just don't see me like that. They don't see me as a homeschool Chanel. They don't see me as middle school or high school or college Chanel. They see me as Chanel right now, and this is a Chanel I, like, I feel most alive about. And so, I don't know. So, like, also, yeah. And then, I don't know, I just got comfortable. People loved me big. And I just, like, loved who I was with them. And I think, like, that was rooted in a, I don't want to say, like, because I don't want to say I'm seeing myself in somebody else's eyes now, because I don't feel like I am. Like, I really think that, like, I don't know, I'm validated in a lot of different areas. And I believe I'm Jesus. I don't know.
I tell you, one of the things that I'm hearing in this is your proactivity. So, you know, you went to Maryland. You said, I've got to get away from this. Mm-hmm. So you go work at this camp in Maryland. Mm-hmm. But you opened up.
Yeah.
You know, and then you came back and you put yourself in new circles. Mm-hmm. You know, and so the circles a lot of times that we run in, you know, we keep getting frustrated that there's not anybody healthy, or there's nobody that we can really open up to or anything like that. But then we're not proactive to get to new circles, because it's just really hard to put yourself out there like that. And then you did. And you kept putting yourselves in positions. And you didn't necessarily understand at that time.
Yeah, no, I had no clue.
But you put yourself in positions around good people who just validated who you are.
Yeah.
And so I see that as not just dumb luck, but growth on your part, you know? To just, and God used that, that effort and that desire to put you in those healthy places.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Chanel.
Yeah.
Hey, I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your story again.
Yeah.
And it's, because it really is, it paints a picture of, regardless of our family, regardless of our situation, regardless of our, even our self-esteem, you know, a pathway towards more wholeness and more healthiness and contentment.
Yeah.
With who we are.
And it feels good.
That's crazy.
It feels so good. I couldn't imagine going back. Holy cow.
You're such an anomaly, Chanel. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. So thanks again for being here part of the podcast. And thank you guys for listening in. We'd love to get your story. And so if you're interested in sharing your story with our CH Stories podcast, you can email me at jquade, J-Q-U-A-D-E, at chjoplin.org. Thanks for listening in.